Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Right, are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Gather round, everybody, and welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester City were magnificent, and Manchester United did enough. It's Wednesday, 16th of February. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Vidushan Antaraja.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Greetings, everybody. Good to have you with us. A little smile from Pete Donaldson, a little nod of the head from Vitushan, and a middle finger.
Wow. Just had to get in there early.
Yeah, you've laid the gauntlet down, haven't you? And I'm going to have to pick it back up.
I have. Pick back and give it back to me.
Yes, okay. You must be happy because both Manchester sides won, Vish.
Yeah, a United Manchester is a strong Manchester. I've always said that.
And Andy Burnham would agree with you.
Yeah.
But we start, of course, with the Champions League, Pete Donaldson. Mm-hmm. When you watch the Champions League now, do you watch it in a different light? Do you think to yourself, Newcastle will be back in that tournament soon?
I just think with a team like, I mean, I presume we'll start with Manchester City's absolute domination.
We'll start with Paris Saint-Germain if you want.
Okay. Yeah, I watch the last stages of the tournament. Even at this stage, like Man City are kind of, they're still not facing any teams that are going to do anything to them. So it's kind of like,
second leg to come.
So it's kind of like organising yourself for a bear attack by punching a load of toddlers in the face. Because they've not faced anyone this season that is going to set them in any great stead for the latter stages of this cup competition. So I just think this round doesn't need to happen.
I'd also like to...
Sorry. Because it's going to get more serious.
Yeah.
They've just charged into a Build-A-Bear
Yeah.
Shot. I thought, right, anyone can get it.
Have you seen how they're made? Put the old, they've got like this spike and it goes right up the bear's bum and it fills it with.
Do the
plush.
Kids see that?
I think they do. I saw it.
I'm going to have to jump in here and stress that if you are.
You're going to picket build a bear.
Vitution, if you are expecting a bear attack, there are other ways to plan for that. And
right,
to
okay.
Protect yourself against okay. that, okay?
Not fighting toddlers.
Leave the toddlers.
Oh, I'm going to say, if you are a toddler, listen to this, look out.
Yeah, watch out, mate.
Because
I'm
people are coming for you.
Manchester City beating Sporting 5-0 in their own patch.
Cancelo was rubbish though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, any rubbish?
Misplaced a few passes apparently, according to Pep Guardiola. Their joint biggest European away victory, and they became the first team in Champions League knockout history to lead an away game by 4+ goals by half time, if you like, half time in the tie. It was imperious stuff. But when it was asked to Pep Guardiola about this performance, he said, "Pep, was it the perfect performance?" He said, "No. Some players underperformed and we lost easy balls, but we were so clinical. I'm incredibly happy. Please don't misunderstand me, but we can do better." And that's the perfection that he strives for, Peter.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing the champions of that country.
Yeah.
It's just so easy for them, isn't it?
The tightest defence in Portugal. And that's what happens, Vish. Yeah. When
grab the rib spreaders.
It was a bit like, oh, there were no away goals. How about if we get 5 of them? Do they count then?
Well, the interesting thing, of
is
course.
Is that right?
The good thing.
Right, UEFA?
All right, we'll score 5, UEFA. Yeah. Come on then.
Love me now, Dad.
The pleasing thing for Manchester City is that if they do indeed go 6-1 down in the tie, as I said on Twitter, they're still alive. No need to panic.
Yeah, that's exactly. Good point.
It's true, actually, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Bernardo Silva against one of his former rivals, of course, was a Benfica player once upon a time, was rather enjoying himself, wasn't he? His first goal was an absolute beauty. What a finish that was. I'll take your booze and I'll stuff them down your faces.
Yeah, like a Build-A-Bear. He's got to be in with a shout for player of the season in terms of all the... Well, you know, in the league, he's been so integral, playing in midfield, but also scoring quite a few goals.
So Man City did the right thing keeping hold of him, do you think?
Yeah.
We spoke about this yesterday, didn't we, with Raheem Sterling?
Yes, of course.
Is he going? Are they all going? Some of them are going, and now they're all staying, and they're all still brilliant.
Oh, well, then now they're better than they ever have been.
every player on that team is 31, unless I find out otherwise.
Yeah, apart from Delap.
31 playing the very best football of their career.
Yeah. Well, Pep said of Silva, of course, he's not just a footballer, because Pep said of Silva, he's unique. First as a person, his mum and dad have to be so proud because he's a lovely, lovely person.
How would he know this much about him to know that?
Well, he knows he's a lovely person. He deals with him day in, day out.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's not a ridiculous
thing. He's had less than lovely people in the squad, so I guess he's got something very much to compare it to.
Indeed. Mm. But do you like it when Pep gets all gushy, Peter?
No, because I wonder if the romance... the way he talks about his players is just a bit too
romantic. Come on, we've both been to Lisbon. We've both been caught up in things that we didn't mean to. And Pep perhaps has just been taken by the Lisbon night sky.
I mean, it's worth... I mean, I guess it's worth... If you're going to wax lyrical about your side, you may as well do it after a 5-0 drawing away from home.
I did quite like this. Ruben Amorim, the Sporting manager, when he was asked if Pep was his reference as a manager before the game, he said, "No, it's always been Jose Mourinho." Love that.
Don't do pressers like that.
Just don't do it. Yeah, I mean, Man City, the way they zipped the ball around and kept that intensity for the 90. I mean, there was a time when, I don't know, there was about 15 minutes to go, Zinchenko was on, and one of the Sporting players ran down the wing, and they were just on him as if it was the first minute. And I know some people might say, well, is that, you know, you... no injuries and no bookings or whatever. Well, actually, it was the Sporting player ended up getting booked. I forget who it was. Mm. But Zinchenko's a fresh man, so, you know, you've got the legs to do it. But that intensity, it was just... Because, in a weird way, I didn't think Sporting were that bad.
No. I know what you mean.
I thought they sort of... Again, they added to it. They sort of played some nice stuff and whatnot. But when Man City play like that, the Chelsea are the undisputed best club side in the world right now. Can't dispute that.
Yes.
And they are the European champions as well. Again, can't dispute
that. And Man City aren't even second because Palmeiras are second.
Palmeiras are second. Yes. I don't think Man City aren't in the top six. I think they're behind Al Hilal, aren't they? And a few others.
And the team from New Zealand who didn't even bother going over there.
Yeah. Exactly. But Manchester City is certainly suggesting that maybe next year they might be gunning for top spot.
Yeah, we can always dream, can't we? As followers of from afar,
yeah.
From very far away of Manchester City.
But you do run out of superlatives when a performance like that comes along. To end the tie, effectively, a two-legged affair before half-time in the first leg
and also
is phenomenal.
Four in the first half, did you say?
Yeah, 4-0.
That is just, it's magnificent.
And also it comes at a time when things are going to get more intense. They're going to have more games to negotiate and they've basically... The game that they would have actually taken priority given when it was taking place and their 9, potentially 12-point lead in the table is now also a resting game.
Yeah.
They've done that because of how well they've done in that first half and, the game overall. It's watching them like that, it's incredible how everyone plays to each other's strengths. Mm-hmm. And also, I think because of the way that football is played... Everyone wants to be involved. So you mentioned Zinchenko there coming in as as a freshman and chasing someone down. I also think you want to come on and play in that team. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely. Mm.
And like, you know, with all due respect to, for example, Chelsea, maybe at the start of the season when they went on that run and you thought, you know, they were top of the table, the attack looked like it was going to work itself out because you thought, well, they've got good attackers. It must work itself out. But it looked hard graft, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know, everything the midfield is doing, it looked pretty tough. Mm-hmm. With Man City, you're like, right, this looks so much fun.
Yeah.
And the way that Sterling can just score a banger for the fifth one, you know, just they're a remarkable team. And all it makes me think about is, how is he going to fuck it up in the final this time?
Who is going to deny Manchester City on this kind of form?
Pep.
With these kind of players?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
They've got the worst manager at the helm, haven't they? He needs to just ship himself off just before the final.
Yeah. They Fantastic. Need an interim manager
for
the final.
Interim manager.
You can do that. You see, can't
Rangnick
do that.
Rangnick will be free by then.
Come on.
Bring him in. Get him in.
Big Ralph.
Ted Lasso with him.
Ralph, are you going to look abroad? No, I want to stay in the Manchester area, see what comes up. Well, it's Salford City.
But it would get to us, because they genuinely look so good. We saw two other huge teams yesterday, who, you know, one of them much better than the other, which we'll come on to. But yeah, the way Man City play, anyone can be taken down. And it's almost like ahead of the final... They just need to have an intervention.
But that's it. You're not good at this, mate.
But when you see a performance like that, we're already talking about, well, they're on their way to the final.
Yeah.
Because they were that good.
Indeed. According to some number-crunching stat boffins yesterday, Manchester City are favourites for the Champions League with a 25% chance of winning. Manchester United have a less than 1% chance of winning.
It's like Quantum Leap. Sam and Scott Bakula, Al.
Yeah, you love it. We haven't heard a Quantum Leap reference for a while.
I like bringing it in because it's coming back.
Manchester United have a less than 1% chance of winning the Champions League.
So you're saying we have a chance?
Yeah, that's basically it, isn't it? No, but that's like, in case like...
The underdog story.
Loads of teams drop out.
Little old Manchester United.
At least they've got a badge on their kits.
Yeah.
Man City.
You kind of have to, legally.
Daft.
Marks and Spencer made your kit.
It's shocking.
I like it. It's for visually impaired people like me.
Yeah, okay.
So I can see who's playing.
What does that say? Manchester, right.
Okay, I'm on board now.
See. What's the sponsor? Yeah, okay.
Manchester City against Yeovil Town, probably.
They're in Portugal.
A quick follow-up, by the way, chaps, from yesterday's chat about the Sporting and FC Porto brawl from last week. Reports say that Pepe, of course, we knew he would be involved, he could be banned for up to 2 years. For kicking Sporting's director of football, Hugo Viana, during the match.
Hugo Viana!
Yeah, remember him?
What a player.
He's only 39.
Well, Pepe, it could be anywhere between 2 months and 2 years. It'll be 2 months.
So he kicked him when he was on the field, or did he seek him out later?
Goodness knows.
At his house.
Pepe. No, I think there was such a big brawl. There was so much going on.
Sporting director getting involved.
They needed like extra help with VAR, I reckon.
Soon as you said that, I wondered if it was probably a suspended sentence
from an earlier
indiscretion.
When I heard 2 years, I thought, bit harsh. Oh, it's just football. Yeah, I suppose.
Breaking and entering. What?
Gentlemen, let's move on to the other tie that happened last night. Paris Saint-Germain 1, Real Madrid 0. It was a last gasp winner from your man, Kylian Mbappe, Peter, who stopped Real Madrid because they seemed determined for the match to finish 0-0.
They really did.
Classic Real Madrid. They've only won the competition about 13 times.
Yeah, it was. I mean, his calves must be absolutely yucking this morning because he was on his toes. Yes. I've never seen such a one-man performance in at this stage of the Premier League. It was the Champions League. It was fantastic, and it came from it was Neymar's backheel, wasn't it? It was like just the world's most telegraphed backheel. I'm gonna backheel it.
Yeah. Don't worry, we'll block him. Fish, you look like you've got something to say.
No, yeah, it was the Neymar coming on as a sub and being like, how many viral moments do I have? I need one more.
Yeah.
If I can't score, I'll be damned if I'm not going to get an assist.
I'll get the numbers.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you Neymar, Kylian Mbappe, Lionel Messi. But old Lionel, he missed a penalty in the 62nd minute, of course. Thibaut Courtois said he'd studied Messi's penalties a lot and that he tried to play with him when he was on the line. But Messi's performance, only 3 out of 10 in L'Equipe. Who famously looked quite harsh with their ratings.
He looked, I mean, they are, yeah. Mm. But he looked very old, didn't he?
Well, this is the thing.
He's allowed to, because he is old.
Yes, but we'll talk about Ronaldo at Manchester United in a short while. But obviously, Ronaldo at Manchester United is kind of like, he's eventually this kind of, freak of nature sounds a bit harsh. This Adonis of football history, who's come along and scored so many goals. Finally, we're seeing him sort of really slow down. I know he's been like that for a few years, and he's adapted his position and so on. And the whole pressing thing hasn't done that for ages. But really, we're now seeing the actual official twilight of his career. The same could be said with Messi, but we've kind of forgotten Messi's age a bit, I think.
Yeah, well, I think the thing that was always going to trouble Messi was moving. After having spent his whole career in Barcelona, where it felt like they had a plan of how they were going to use him throughout the years, it started when he was a kid and right the way through now, you felt he was going to have a bit more of a withdrawn role. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because of the shambles that Barcelona became, it didn't quite come to fruition. But there was, there was always talk that in Messi's twilight years, he would just move a bit further back, wouldn't he? And obviously going to PSG, and it still feels like they don't quite know how to deal with him. And it is really interesting seeing players like that who, whenever Messi goes to the next level, it's actually when he's a bit explosive. When he goes on those runs and he has that burst and he's got that strength as well that people don't really realise until they're shoulder to shoulder with him. And obviously he only has a couple of them in him per game because you expend a lot of energy doing that.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of times yesterday where he kind of broke through, didn't quite make it. But it really does reinforce the fact that with Neymar starting on the bench, Messi, as we've spoken about there, that Mbappe is, and has been for a while, the main man at PSG. Mm. And it is mad that he could leave for free.
Well, it is.
Because he was absolutely outstanding.
But with Messi, Pochettino isn't really his type of manager because the demands that he puts on his players. I know he's obviously had to adapt himself because he's at PSG and he's got those players. But it's not really a good match.
He never has a nice time against Courtois. Like, that was he's never got a penalty past Courtois.
I'm sort of oddly giving you credit for this or somehow.
I used to be part of the conversation.
Did you tell Courtois where to go?
Go left, mate.
Yeah, Pete, the goalkeeper whisperer.
But that accentuated
Courtois homework.
But with Mbappe, though, as you say, he could leave on a free to Real Madrid. Didn't hold back in the celebrations, didn't he?
I mean, that's fair enough.
No, that's fine. But the whole team, you could say, didn't hold back in the celebrations. The way they celebrated, I just thought, okay, you've got a good win there against Real Madrid. I understand that, but there is the second leg to come. If you do score, it won't count as much as you thought because of the away goal rule
change. Maybe they need to be reminded.
I thought that they might have celebrated just a tiny bit
less.
Too much.
Oh, okay. It's a last minute winner.
Yeah.
Also, in front of your fans as well.
I don't know.
What are you, anti-football, Marcus?
No, I'm
an old man.
Because if you remember Erling Haaland, when they took the piss out of his celebration and said he celebrated too much for Borussia Dortmund when he got the winning goal.
And like he literally sat down and pretended to meditate.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And then the whole team billionaires thought, oh, look at that 19-year-old making fun of us.
Maybe.
But that was the most pathetic thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, maybe Courtois and the boys will do the same back at the Bernabeu.
Celebrate if they score. Yeah, fine, do that.
Yeah.
Do you think it's odd, though, the fact that that we won't have an away goals winner in this season's Champions League?
Yeah, it takes a lot away from the competition, I think. But then stats people sort of say it won't. In fact, it'll improve things. So what do I know?
Do you know what?
I know one stat, and it's about Courtois.
Yes, and it's a bloody good stat, though, you see. Miguel Delaney wrote a good piece, as he tends to do, We like Mix. And I thought he made a couple of very good points. The fact that Manchester City and Pep Guardiola in particular will like this rule change. Mm-hmm. And I think actually...
It'll favour the big sides.
Exactly, Peter. Yeah. That's the thing. That is when I was sort of thinking, do away goals are... I know it's not the same as it was 30, 40 years ago, going into the unknown, so there was a bit more incentive and stats say... Blah, blah, blah. And I just sort of landed on, ultimately, the big sides will prefer this because it gives them that tiny bit more control, that element of control. Because away goals provides a bit of chaos and big teams want the control. They don't want the chaos. And therefore, I think it's a bit of a shame that the rule's gone.
Yeah, no, I agree. Especially seeing Real Madrid just try and settle for 0-0 yesterday.
Poor old Madrid. Eh? Won't someone think of the little guys?
But then, like, conversely, I'm only saying this because of how dull that game was last night. Certainly, Real Madrid's approach to it. But do you think that will lend itself to a more exciting second leg?
I don't know. I wouldn't.
I'm not sure either. Yeah.
I wouldn't sort of put too much into this particular game.
Yeah.
Perhaps the away goals rule change has changed it, but I mean, it's made that game more boring. Then, if you want to take that argument, because that's the approach Real Madrid. But they are also playing PSG, who are one of the favourites for this competition, and Ancelotti. He's you know, good cup manager, as we know. He knows how to win things, and he thinks, well, actually, that's how we're going to set up. I sincerely hope that we see what we wanted to see in that first leg in the second leg at the Bernabeu, but I don't know. But are you sad to see away goals go?
He's playing Atleti next week, no? Oh, yes, yeah. I'm not sure.
That's a good point.
The anti-Atleti rule, isn't it, really?
That is true.
Yeah.
Good point.
Can we take out tackling as well?
Yeah.
Stop tackling? I mean, I am, for exactly the reasons you articulated, because I think it's just a bit more fun. And I suppose, as Miguel wrote about the fact that it will favour bigger teams, you know, some of the idea that you could, you wouldn't,
you've taken away the sucker punch.
Like, yeah, exactly.
And a sucker punch, yes, big teams can sucker punch, but it tends to be the smaller teams.
Imagine if David didn't have a slingshot. He'd have been fucked.
He had the Lord with him.
He would have stepped on his little head. Did he?
He had the Lord with him. Yeah,
did he?
So, yeah, that's the whole thing about that.
Which Lord?
So the it wasn't Lord. It wasn't the slingshot.
Oh, come on, Vish, you're being silly now.
No,
it was. He had a slingshot.
He had
didn't
a slingshot.
He did. That was the thing. What knocked the
Goliath?
The Goliath's block off. No?
So we think the away goals can provide a slingshot for the smaller teams.
Yeah.
But against you, basically, what you want is you don't want away goals against Atletico Madrid. And if Manchester United get through, then bring back the away goals. So plucky Manchester United, with their less than 1% chance, can get it up to a full percent.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yes.
Just pull it out. Yeah, away goals.
Pull out of God's hand. And fall off that ladder.
Okay.
It's a big ladder.
I think it's time for a break.
From you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble. Join Luke Moore and me, Pete Donaldson, for an unplanned half hour where we discuss life's great mysteries like, can a man survive by eating roadkill, as well as the week's most bizarre news stories and your ridiculous adventures, like this one about an almost catastrophic shortcut.
We eventually came to a large railed fence, which I decided we should climb. I scaled the 15-foot-ish fence, and as I was sat atop, ready to jump down, three or four police came running from a little building we hadn't noticed before shouting at me and grabbing my mate Sam. I was faced with the choice of legging it onto the other side of the fence or gallantly going back to help my friend. I returned to Sam, and the quite pissed off police and my gallantry was rewarded as they advised me that I had been climbing into the zoo and would have landed in an animal enclosure.
Listen to the Luke and Pete Show wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Great chat, lads, there. Well done. That was really, really interesting. I could have just listened to you two all day chat about the tactics.
Basically, United are shit.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's Wednesday, and that means it's time for Pep Talks.
We are so, so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for them.
We are so happy. I'm so happy, believe me. I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Please! Drink wine and relax!
Welcome to Pep Talks, everybody.
I have an email from Sam Watts, who has a very unique conundrum that I don't think we've ever been asked on Pep Talks before. He's from Nashville, Tennessee. The MLS is starting up at the end of the month, and my club, Nashville SC, is opening the largest football-specific stadium in North America on the 1st of May.
Ooh.
I feel like I need to start a new tradition for the new stadium and could use your help on what I should do. Ooh. Every goal, you have to eat a Tennessee hot chicken sandwich. Because I've never had one and they look amazing.
Oh, come on. Nashville, the home of songwriting.
And
yeah,
hot chicken sandwiches.
Really?
Yeah.
They do them in the other parts of the world.
No, but they do it's a speciality.
The pitch should be called Empire of Dirt. I know it was a cover, but it's still a Johnny Cash celebrated track.
Ooh. Johnny Nashville.
Yeah. I've been to the Johnny Cash Museum in Nashville.
There you go, you see.
I bought a dog poo bag holder.
What, with like his face
in tribute to him?
Okay.
I want some Rosa Parks dog tags.
Empire of Dirt.
About a dog tags with Rosa Parks on. What's that about?
I don't know, but you doesn't stop you from buying.
It doesn't
them.
Stop me from
you,
buying.
See
them.
The difference
really
between you
confusing.
And I is like we both. Let's be honest, we both love tat.
We do, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. I can't get enough of
but
it.
But you look at it.
But I just look at
you
it
just
like
take
some
a picture.
Tat pervert. I just, yeah. I take a picture.
You're the bloke trying on the sunglasses in Camden. No pictures, please.
Yeah. But I don't actually buy. I just want to look at the tat. There yeah. we go. Right, ooh, that's it. Give me some tat.
I want the Rosa Parks. If you see, if you see some Rosa Parks dog tags, you're going to buy them. It's demented.
If you don't. Yeah, no, it is.
Have you really qualified her memory?
That's true.
That's what she would have wanted.
That's what she would have wanted, yeah.
What's the most silly tat you've ever bought, Vish?
The silliest tat I've ever bought. I don't know. I'm not really a big tat buyer. Because mugs don't really count as tat because they're useful, even if they're, you know, if they've got
true.
Rubbish on
them. So you collect a lot of mugs?
No, I don't even do that.
Why did you suddenly go to mug? I'm moving
know.
On to the next message.
Yeah, I think
I
so.
Have a problem potentially.
We haven't answered him.
Sorry. Really.
Okay. We haven't answered him.
Okay.
No, because he can't eat a hot chicken sandwich every...
No.
Get cold,
I think there's got to be some sort of...
I got sunstruck there.
Surely every...
Do that.
Every home game has a halftime show with the latest budding songwriter who's moved to...
Yes. That is not a bad idea.
Nice.
There we are.
Dueling pianos get wheeled on. Well done, they... Have a little
oh yeah, if they have goal music, but they have live goal music.
Live yeah. goal music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Don't introduce VAR; it'll ruin the whole thing. Strike up the band. Excellent. I think we've answered that one yeah. there, Sam, in Nashville.
honk-tonk man. I have a problem potentially to be dealt with, best by Sir Andy Brassel. Unlucky anonymous emailing in. He's not here today.
That'll teach you for not giving us your name.
I'm currently in the process of trying to get myself on the property ladder just a stone's throw from Plough Lane, the home of AFC Wimbledon, aka MK Dons 2. When viewing the property, I asked the estate agent what the neighbours were like, and he widened his eyes with a look of horror before saying he didn't know.
Oh.
I asked the current occupant about the neighbours, and she said she never speaks to them. Suspicious. Yeah. I was lingering about the area to make sure that the general neighbourhood didn't seem too terrifying. When I saw the next door neighbours leaving the home, I crept after them, and saw them enter one of Wimbledon's less desirable pubs, although admittedly it does have karaoke. I immediately called my partner for backup. We bedded in to see what was what, watching, waiting for them to do something disgraceful. Nothing came. Then at the end of the night, they got up for their song. They picked the Proclaimers, were dreadful, they were booed off after a minute, and swiftly left. What does this even tell me? How do I find out more about them? Maybe these aren't even the neighbours I should be worried about. Will I have to hear about them practising the Proclaimers forever? Please let me know how I can avoid finally buying a property and locking myself in with demon neighbours. This does sound suspicious.
Yes.
I don't know why they just walked into a pub, didn't do anything, then suddenly sang the Proclaimers, then went out.
Yeah, I'm...
Why is he following them?
I think
that's
person,
useful. That's really useful.
I think he shouldn't be moving into the area.
I agree. You're the problem here, matey boy. These good people, these Proclaimers singing people, don't deserve you. Whoever they are, we need to find this pub. We need to go in there. And the next people who sing the Proclaimers go, right, you need to block whoever's going to move next door.
That is astonishing. Yeah, I've never done that.
No, why would you?
I've been to like the local pubs of places that I've wanted to move into to be like, oh, this is a nice vibe.
Yeah. This is where I'm going to live.
You've got to be my toilet.
Can I stumble back to someone else's house now?
There we are. So yeah, Peter, what do you reckon?
I think you're right though. He's probably, if you can't see the terrible neighbour in the room, it's you.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to sort of figure out who your neighbours are because
I get that.
I know,
but they've gone too far there. You can't stalk them.
No. But they're in a public place. They're not, like, doing anything.
But I quite like the fact that they had a go. They were dreadful.
Yeah.
They were booed off. And then they swiftly left. Like, yeah, okay. If they'd have said, no, we're finishing the rest of the song.
This is important. Yeah,
they're not belligerent. No. They're fine. Yes. I think they know their place.
Yeah.
They've had, you know, and also, if they're at karaoke, they probably thought, oh, what can we sing? Oh, Proclaimers.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I completely agree. I don't mind that. I think they're all right.
I think those people are good. The anonymous chap or chapess, I'm not convinced by.
Okay, yeah, cool.
There we are. If you've got any questions for us, however bizarre, send them in. We'll get to them every Wednesday for Pep Talk. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble.
All right, now it's time for this, dickheads.
I prefer to kill him.
Oh, I like that little shoulder dance you did to the honking synth.
The honky tonk.
The honky synth. Right, two footballers mashed together. It is Pop Antonio Conte. Do you guys know the rules? Because I know Vish doesn't play it as often as Marcus, maybe.
Vish knows.
Yeah,
Vish knows. All right, then. This one comes from Peter Hall, a Roma-themed duo from Peter Hall.
Roma?
Yes.
Good. That's the first clue.
There's your little clue.
Oh, that's a rare clue before the music starts.
Okay. I was a Japan international featuring at 3 World Cups, retiring at the age of 29, and I was brought in by Jose Mourinho to solve the team's goal-scoring problem.
Nakhil Tammy Abraham.
Yeah.
Oh, that was lovely. That was lovely. Well done, mate.
You're right there, Vish.
I had that, yeah.
Got the silver medal around your neck there, pal.
Easing you in.
I was gonna do the full name, Hidetoshi Nakhil Tammy Abraham.
Yeah.
So. Did you do the full name? That's
That's how we want it to be known.
Hidetoshi Nakata Ami Abraham.
Nakata. Yeah. He's probably actually called Nakata Hidetoshi, maybe.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but either way, Marcus.
We're both right.
We'll take it for VAR afterwards. But you do need to give us the full name, Marcus. And I think you know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So fine. You're admitting the crime. Okay, good.
No, I didn't realise that was the
You did realise.
Yeah, it's only a game about names. Yeah.
And I got the name.
Ah,
yeah. You've got to get the joined. You've got to get the joiny bit.
From Connor Daly. Are you ready? Sillies. I am a current Fulham midfielder who was mentioned in the lyrics of False Nine by AJ Tracy while playing for Spurs, and I'm a Leicester City winger who is one of the few remaining Foxes players who helped them win the league in 2015-2016.
I'm trying to think of AJ Tracy.
False Nine.
It's got to be Mark Albrighton.
Foxes player, 2015 winner.
Tom Kitt, no. Oh, this is poor.
I don't know the rules anymore.
Honestly. Josh Anormark,
oh,
writer.
Yeah. Fair play, fair play.
Josh Anormark, O'Brien. Yeah.
Mm, yeah. Seamless, isn't it?
Connor, thank you.
Sounds like
that.
All one name, doesn't it?
Oh, you're picking at the seams of this competition now, are we?
You're
not wearing a shirt, sir. Get out of Harrods.
Can we have the jingle again?
I prefer to kill him.
Thank you.
All right. Cool.
There we are. There we go.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff there. Thank you very much, everybody. Now we move on to Manchester United against Brighton. Manchester United won 2-0. The game has finished. And it was back to winning ways for Ralph Rangnick. Cristiano finally ended his six-game drought. His mum was at the Sporting game instead, so didn't see it, Peter.
Oh, well, look. It's kind of a good thing, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't know.
Why would it be good or bad?
Because she's supporting a team that's taking on Man City. I don't know. It kind of works, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, also sport. You know, I mean, that's where Ronaldo started.
Yeah, exactly.
Remembering his roots is very, very important as well. Vish, clean sheet, 3 points in the bag, happy days.
Yeah. No, it was. It was a convincing win. Uh-huh. Let's not speak any more about it.
Ronaldo, he looked decent, though, to be fair.
He did. It's probably his best game in a while. Obviously, his first goal in 2022.
Great goal. Hit it early.
Yeah, it was
love
perfect.
That.
He had enough chances to get a hat-trick, though, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he missed a couple of headers.
I did feel a little bit sorry for him. There was one in particular where he set up Jadon Sancho lovely, and then Sancho should have squared it back to him for a tap-in. And when he did that temper tantrum that he does because Sancho missed, I thought, do you know what?
You've earned that one.
Yeah, I actually agree with you.
But the two times that Fernandes put the ball right in your head and you've fucked it up, not that one.
Is that why Fernandes missed that chance when Ronaldo squared it to him? He's well, like, United, well, if you're not going to give me an assist, I'm not going to give you an assist. Yeah.
Someone termed this the XG derby.
Yeah.
Because certainly over the last couple of months, United have been playing aesthetically better football, but functionally not much better. Mm-hmm. Certainly not getting the results.
Yeah,
but they have been creating better quality of chances, just not putting them away. And that Fernandes miss was a great example of that. But to be fair, Brighton were better with 11 men. Mm-hmm. United were better for the first 10 minutes that turned the game, mm-hmm. where they made their first few tackles in the match. They didn't make a single tackle in the first half.
Mm. They booed off at half time.
Yeah, they score. So one of those tackles was when McTominay won the ball, Ronaldo scored, and then when Elanga tackled Dunk and then got taken down for the penalty, that basically turned the game. But then even with 10 men, Brighton still had chances and Welbeck should have scored.
They looked like that's a side who looked like they're drilled and have a plan.
Exactly. So you take one person out and they were like, right, okay, how do we mitigate for this?
And it was impressive the way they adapted.
But they're just a very good team. The thing I was worried about yesterday was that United will give them a lot of the ball, which they did, and wouldn't be able to get it off him, which they weren't able to until they got them down to 10 men.
Well, absolutely. And you mentioned old Dave the Save. David De Gea, that save against Roda's header. Was it the first half, I think?
Yeah.
Full stretch, beautiful save.
It was quite a long header.
Yeah.
I know on the Luke and Pete show, they're obsessed with the long egg. It was a long egg and a header.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, I mean, Brighton, they were only before this, that's only their fifth defeat in the league. Before that, they'd only lost four, and only Manchester City, Chelsea, and Liverpool have lost fewer games before this one in the league.
Yeah.
It shows you a very, very difficult side to take apart. It was Graham Potter's 100th Premier League game in charge of Brighton, by the way. They're having a great time there. They are having a good time. Maguire's performance was scrutinised again. Are you worried about Harry Maguire? Should he just stick to playing for England?
Well, like contracted like an England Test cricketer.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. It's funny though because he doesn't have a particularly good midfield in front of him.
Yeah.
He hasn't been very good, like absolutely. But
yeah, but he needs a bit of help.
But do you not think it's like Maguire's constantly trying to deal with Fred and McTominay and Fernandes spends most of the time in his own half going, this is how you bring the ball forward. And so he's at his worst when he's at the back. They're just two sides trying to solve the same problem. The midfield's a bit shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Maguire's basically got the stove on, but he's also got two kids running around.
Yes.
And he's
right,
like, any
one of them's going to pull. Yeah.
You, the oven settings were a little bit high, but as you say,
Man City's trying to punch them.
Good news, though, for Manchester United. They've appointed their first ever head of fan engagement. He's called Rick McGar and has previously worked for Ofsted as their head of internal communications.
So he's used to dealing with complaints.
Fun times all round by the sounds of it. He's also been on Manchester United's fans advisory board and a fans forum representative for the club. So Big Rick should help start to that. And that's the kind of thing, it starts from the bottom.
Yes.
At a club. So already Manchester United are making wise decisions.
Do you want to give Rafinha a coaching staff rather than the cast-offs that he got now? Nah, don't worry about it.
Get
that Ofsted man to explain why they've sold Paul Pogba.
That Ofsted man. by the way, would you like an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer update?
If you would. I don't know the rules anymore anyway.
He's being tipped for the Aberdeen job.
Yes, please.
Come on. Always a red.
Always a red.
He knows the colour very well.
This is Aberdeen Football Club. So no, don't say that.
That's the Newcastle loan system.
He basically thought to himself, where did Fergie manage before Manchester United?
Yeah, he's going backwards.
I want his car park space.
Why are you living in Govan? It's quite interesting, though, because...
It is very interesting.
If you looked objectively at the numbers of his win percentage and some of the games that he won in terms of the profile of the games
at that level,
you think, right, okay, there's something to work with here, and yet wasn't really anywhere near the Everton job.
No,
and you think maybe that would have been he's obviously going to come down a few levels, but you thought, not even linked to the
Everton
job.
Aren't going to.
No. But I'm just saying in terms of jobs that have been recently available.
Yeah, but I'm saying post-Manchester United.
I mean, Sam Allardyce was linked to the Everton job.
No, but that's different, though, because they needed someone to kind of get them out of a hole.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure.
After Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the treatment he got for being Manchester United manager, if you go and get him and say Everton, it shows a distinct lack of ambition.
Yeah, no, 100%. But what I'm saying is he wasn't even linked to the job. Mm. And I was trying to think, actually, would it be like a team in the Championship, pushing for promotion in the Championship?
Yeah.
Or would he have to go elsewhere? And obviously, this isn't ironclad. It was Charlie Nicholls wrote this in the Daily Express.
He did.
You know, so it's just one man's opinion. Yeah.
Big Charlie's tipping him.
I'm looking at reviews for.
Because I'm sitting here thinking, sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at reviews for Aberdeen Science Centre and great place to bring kids young and old. So maybe it might, that's what he's into.
Yeah.
Could see him running around the Wave Energy exhibit.
Well, I think it would be a coup for Aberdeen if they could get him.
They have a lot of cricket clubs in Aberdeen as well.
And he likes cricket, doesn't
he? He does, probably.
Much like yourself. Well, we'll let you know what happens there, although you'll probably find out before we do. Inter versus Liverpool and RB Salzburg versus Bayern are the two juicy fixtures in the Champions League this evening. Inter versus Liverpool. That's a proper Champions League tie, is it not, Vish?
Yeah, it's got that old school ring to it.
It does have a bit of an old school ring to it.
I like that.
Second in the Prem versus second in Serie A. It's what UEFA wanted. Jordan Henderson has been deemed fit to travel to Milan after he gashed his knee against Burnley.
Awful business.
Luis Diaz is in the squad. Could start. We want to see him.
Yes. He looked so silky when he made his debut that I wondered actually if, he's going to take time to bed into the Premier League and Liverpool system. But would the Champions League be the easy conduit to do that.
Yes, indeed.
Whereby with the continental style of play and things like that and, a big occasion that it just might fast track him in that way. So
well, depending on what side he would start, could he come up against Inter fullback Denzel Dumfries or Dumfries, as one might call him. Dumfries. Because he said there were some big revelations coming from him this week. He said, 2 weeks ago, my teammates got mad at me for adding chicken over pesto pasta. They said, I insulted pasta that way. I will not do it again.
That's probably university cooking, isn't it?
Oh, I know. Chicken and pesto do go very well.
I love pesto.
Yeah,
today I discovered pestos. I didn't realise you'd only just put a couple of spoons on stuff. I used the whole tin. I was like, I thought it was like a stirring sauce.
It doesn't come in tins.
Well, all right. I'm sure you could find pesto in a tin.
Yeah.
It comes in cans.
One particular brand comes in a glass jar with a recyclable lid.
Do you ever, before when you open it, before you put it in, do you ever have a spoonful for yourself?
Oh, yes, please. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I may.
And if there's, uncooked pine nuts, I'll chew on them as well.
Very good. Lovely. As well. You maybe just dip a little bit of cheddar in
there. Yeah! Yes.
That's double cheese. Yes. You can't be doing that.
Yeah, you can do that.
You can.
Pesto perverts over here.
You should go to Genoa. Isn't it from Genoa, pesto? I think that's where it originated from.
Right, okay. Yeah. But you also, when you can break a bit of Parmesan off and dip it in.
Oh, naughty. Yeah. Very naughty. So, Denzel, we're with you. Don't listen to your stupid teammates. but you might have your hands full if you come up against Mr. Diaz. Trent Alexander-Arnold said yesterday that one trophy a season is the minimum for Liverpool right now. It's quite a statement.
I mean, it depends on the trophy, though, doesn't it?
It's very true. But more than one trophy. So he's basically saying if they won the League Cup, it's not enough.
What about the candlestick? The Man United candlestick?
That's true. Yeah, I suppose he did say a minimum.
Yeah.
So you know, I see what you mean. He's sort of hedging his bets. He stressed that they weren't disappointed with last season having won two major trophies in recent years. But he said, obviously, not making any digs, but you look at Man City's amazing team and they haven't been able to lift the Champions League.
Oh.
I mean, it is a thing, isn't it?
I know
it sounds like a dig. I mean, and it sounds like a dig because it is a dig. But it's also true, isn't it? And, it, you know, City have geared towards that. And he has the Champions League winners, by the way.
Yeah, true. But I see what Alexander-Arnold's saying, because this Liverpool side under Klopp has been so, so good. But they haven't won as many trophies as, say, Guardiola's Man City. I mean, the timelines might not match up there. They've had incredible success in the Champions League. Okay, they've only won it twice, but they've been to more than one final. And you could, considering where they were when they were beaten 3-1 against Real Madrid, it's very impressive that they did that. And he's right to say they haven't won the Champions League, of course, Manchester City. So I take his point. But then compare it to Chelsea, they've got the full gamut, haven't they? Recently, they've won every trophy going. But unless they have they been invited to the Emirates Cup?
Well, I don't see them anywhere near the Europa Conference League.
That's true, actually. Mm. That is open to them.
Need to get down there.
Into Toto? I don't think so. Don't you get a certificate for that? Was that the
I thought it was a big plate, but I think there's that famous picture of Scott Parker holding, like, looking sad and holding a certificate.
Yeah, exactly. You just get a big check.
Yes.
Well done. There's $5,000 or something like that. And everyone, if you finish second, you get an I tried hard sticker.
It's like a Duke of Edinburgh, isn't it?
Like a Duke of Edinburgh.
Are you going to finish that Kendall Mint cake?
Cesar Azpilicueta, of course, has lifted a few trophies while he's been at Chelsea. Neil Warnock, of all people, has had his say specifically on Cesar Azpilicueta.
On Cesar Azpilicueta.
We've been waiting for Warnock to pipe up.
Breaking
about the
silence.
Because Azpilicueta, after he lifted the Club World Cup, has now won every major honour available to Chelsea during his 10 years at the club, which is very impressive. But Warnock said, I think Azpilicueta has been a very fortunate lad to be at a club like Chelsea. I don't think he's a great defender. Sometimes you need a bit of luck.
Yeah, he's had a lot of luck, hasn't he?
Yeah.
If that's the case, Neil.
I think that's a little bit silly.
Because the thing about Chelsea is, if they deem someone not pulling their weight, they often just let them stay, don't
that's
they?
Right, that's right, yeah.
Keep playing if you want, mate.
Very ruthless, are they?
That's how you win lots of trophies.
Yeah.
Is to win trophies, you need deadwood.
Yeah, and that's why Roberto Di Matteo's still in charge.
He won them the Champions League.
He didn't win them the Champions League. He was there when they won the Champions League.
He happened to be in one of the best seats in the house.
Yeah.
Front row.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But money can't buy better than that.
He was courtside.
He was courtside, yeah. It was him and Jack Nicholson. Chelsea
and DiCaprio on the bench.
Yeah, yeah. Rihanna was there as well. ASAP Rocky.
They were all courtside.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I'd just like to finish very quickly with a little bit of admin. Yesterday saw the World Players Union FIFPro announced that 75% of male players want the World Cup to remain on a 4-year cycle. So there we are, Arsene Wenger and your 2-year business.
Yep.
I think that's that dead.
Yeah,
we are.
Yep.
Excellent. If you enjoyed the show today, please leave us a 5-star review. It helps new listeners find the show and we will love and lust you for it.
Mm.
There's no doubt about that. But thank you for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Jim and Andy will be in your ears. Until then, thank you very much, Vish.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Can I end with a review of Aberdeen Beach?
Please.
Mm-hmm. 1-star.
Do the accent.
One is a Stuart Cruikshank. Excellent ale quality for cycling, but bloody sand everywhere. It's a beach, Stuart. It's a beach.
Well, go to Brighton Beach, you'll love it.
I just wanted to spend some time with the North Sea and there's fucking sand everywhere.
I want direct access.
Sort of crab.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.